Hi there. I am Rock and my gorgeous wife is Ro. Yes, Rock and Ro. I have an outstanding study of the scriptures from Jesus our Lord and Open Door Lake CC. It takes place in the book of Luke chapter 24 verses 13 to 35. So sit back, buckle up, and enjoy. Let me give a short introduction and we will dive deep and see what God would like us to know about him. Today's message is about two discouraged disciples walking away from Jerusalem after the death of Jesus. Their hopes were crushed, their hearts were confused, and they could not understand what God was doing. But then Jesus himself came near. On the road to Emmaus, the risen Lord walked with them, listened to their sorrow, opened the scriptures, and revealed that the cross was not the defeat of God's plan. It was the fulfillment of God's plan. This sermon reminds us that Jesus still meets people on the road of disappointment. He still opens blind eyes. He still sets cold hearts on fire. And he still turns discouraged believers into bold witnesses. So as we open to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, let's ask the Lord to do the same in us. Open our eyes, open his word, and make our hearts burn again for the risen Savior. I titled this, When Jesus Walks with the Discouraged. The theme is about when the risen Christ meets us in our confusion, opens the scriptures, burns our hearts, and sends us with good news. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We ask that you would open our eyes to see what Jesus did, what he wants us to know in this message, and what your word says. Please, open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us today. Lord God, many of us know what it feels like to walk discouraged, confused, disappointed, or even spiritually cold. But we thank you that Jesus still walks with his people. Teach us from your word. Strengthen the believer, encourage the weary, and draw the lost to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me try to set the stage. Luke 24 takes place on the very day Jesus rose from the dead. It is Resurrection Sunday, but not everyone is celebrating yet. The tomb is empty. The women have reported that angels told them Jesus is alive. Peter has run to the tomb and found it empty. But for many of the disciples, their hearts are still confused. They have facts, but they do not yet have understanding. They have heard reports, but they have not yet fully believed. Jerusalem is full of tension. Just days earlier, Jesus had entered the city while crowds shouted praises. Then suddenly he was betrayed, arrested, beaten, mocked, crucified, and buried. The hopes of many followers were crushed. They believed Jesus was the Messiah. They believed he was the one who would redeem Israel. But their understanding of redemption was incomplete. Like many Jews of that day, they expected Messiah to overthrow Rome, restore the kingdom to Israel, and reign from Jerusalem. Now we believe that Jesus will indeed reign. We believe in a future, literal kingdom of Christ upon the earth. We believe Jesus is coming again, and that he will fulfill every promise God made to Israel. But before the crown, there had to be the cross. Before the kingdom glory, there had to be the blood of atonement. Before Messiah would rule the nations, he had to die for sinners. That is what these two disciples on the road to Emmaus did not yet understand. And maybe that is where some people are today. You know some Bible facts. You have heard about Jesus. You may even believe he was a great teacher. But you have not yet understood why he had to die and what his resurrection means for you personally. Luke chapter 24 verse 13 says two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. 7 miles is a long walk when your heart is broken. They are walking away from Jerusalem, away from the place of disappointment, away from the scene of crushed expectations. But here is the good news. Even when they were walking the wrong direction emotionally, Jesus came walking with them. So now let us jump into God's word. Please read Luke chapter 24 verses 13 to 35.
God's Word. Luke chapter 24 verses 13 to 35. Now that same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Verse 19. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thank you, Ro. This first section is titled "Jesus Meets Us in Our Confusion." Luke chapter 24 verse 14 tells us they were talking together about everything that had happened. Can you imagine that conversation? What happened? How could they crucify him? What about his miracles? What about his words? What about the kingdom? What about the empty tomb? Could it be true? Why don't we understand? Then verse 15 says that Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. That is beautiful. They are confused, but Jesus comes near. They are discouraged, but Jesus draws close. They are discussing him, and he shows up. But verse 16 says they were kept from recognizing him. Now, that is interesting. Jesus is right there, but they do not know it is him. This teaches us something important. Jesus can be near even when we do not recognize him. Sometimes we say, "Lord, where are you?" And the truth is, he is closer than we realize. Sometimes grief blinds us. Sometimes disappointment blinds us. Sometimes wrong expectations blind us. Sometimes unbelief blinds us. But the blindness of these disciples was not permanent. Jesus was going to open their eyes, but first he was going to open the scriptures. That is always the right order. Many people want experience before they want truth. They want a feeling before they want doctrine. But Jesus begins by bringing them back to the Word of God. Now we come to section 2. Jesus invites honest conversation. Jesus asks them in verse 17, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Now, did Jesus know? Of course he knew. Jesus did not ask because he lacked information. He asked because he wanted them to bring their hearts before him. That is prayer. Prayer is not informing God of something he does not know. Prayer is bringing your heart into the presence of the one who already knows, already cares, and already has the answer. They stood still, their faces downcast. That phrase says a lot. Their faces showed their hearts. They were sad. They were disappointed. They were heavy. One of them, named Cleopas, answers Jesus with surprise. Verse 18, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" That is almost humorous. They are telling Jesus about Jesus. They are explaining the crucifixion to the one who was crucified. They are explaining the empty tomb to the one who walked out of it. They are explaining their disappointment to the one who is the very answer to it. You know, we do that too. We tell the Lord how big the problem is, and we forget how big he is. We explain our situation to God as if heaven is uninformed. But Jesus is patient. He says in verse 19, what things? Again, he is drawing them out. They begin to explain that Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. They explain that the chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified. Then they reveal the ache in their hearts in verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Those are painful words. We had hoped the marriage would heal. We had hoped the child would come home. We had hoped the diagnosis would be different. We had hoped the job would work out. We had hoped God would answer in the way we expected. These disciples were not atheists. They were disappointed believers. Their faith had not disappeared, but it was shaken. And notice, their hope was not wrong. It was incomplete. Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel. But redemption had to begin with sin. Mankind's greatest problem is not Rome, politics, economics, or circumstances. Man's greatest problem is sin. Jesus did not come first to overthrow Rome. He came first to overthrow sin and death. Section 3. Jesus corrects us with the scriptures. After listening to them, Jesus speaks directly. In verse 25, he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." That sounds strong, but it is loving. Jesus does not rebuke them for failing to understand current events. He rebukes them for being slow to believe the scriptures. That is powerful. Their problem was not lack of information. Their problem was selective belief. They believed the parts about Messiah's glory, but they missed the parts about Messiah's suffering. Many people today do the same thing. They want the blessings of God, but not repentance. They want heaven, but not the cross. They want Jesus as helper, but not Lord. They want prophecy, but not holiness. They want comfort, but not correction. But Jesus says in verse 26, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" There it is, suffering first, glory after. That is the pattern of Christ. That is also often the pattern of the Christian life. The cross comes before the crown. Humility comes before exaltation. Faithfulness comes before reward. Yes, the church is rescued before the coming wrath, but we are not promised a life without trials. Then verse 27 says that, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." What a Bible study that must have been. Jesus preached Jesus from the Old Testament. He may have taken them to Genesis 3 verse 15, where the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. He may have taken them to Genesis 22, where Isaac is placed on the altar and God provides a substitute. He may have taken them to Exodus 12, where the Passover lamb's blood protects from judgment. He may have taken them to Leviticus and the sacrificial system. He may have taken them to Numbers 21, where the bronze serpent is lifted up. He may have taken them to Psalm 22, where the suffering one is pierced and mocked. He may have taken them to Isaiah 53, where the servant is wounded for our transgressions and bears our iniquities. He may have taken them to Daniel 9, where Messiah is cut off. The point is this, the whole Bible points to Jesus. The Old Testament is not a disconnected collection of moral stories. It is God's unfolding plan of redemption. Jesus is the center. For the new Christian, understand this. The Bible is not mainly about how you could be a better person. The Bible is about who God is, what sin has done, and how Jesus saves. For the mature Christian, never get bored with Christ and the scriptures. The deepest Bible study will always lead us back to Jesus. Section 4. Jesus draws nearer when he is invited. As they approached Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But verse 29 says they urge him strongly, "Stay with us." That is a beautiful prayer. "Lord, stay with us." They still do not know it is Jesus, but their hearts are being drawn. Something is happening inside them as he opens the word. Jesus is a gentleman. He does not force his fellowship where it is not wanted. He draws. He speaks. He reveals truth. But he also waits to be received. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He does not kick the door down. He invites. He calls. He convicts. But each person must respond. They invite him in, and he stays with them. Now here is where the story becomes very personal. Verse 30 says that when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. That language reminds us of the feeding of the 5,000. It reminds us of the Last Supper. It reminds us of fellowship. It reminds us that Jesus is the bread of life. Then verse 31 says, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Suddenly they saw the stranger was the Savior. The traveler was the risen Lord. The one explaining the scriptures was the one who fulfilled them. And then he disappeared from their sight. Why? Because now they did not need to walk by sight. They had the word, they had the witness, and they had the burning confirmation in their hearts. Now we come to section 5 titled, The Word of God Sets the Heart on Fire. Let's look at verse 32. Verse 32 is one of the most beautiful verses in this chapter. They ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Notice what made their hearts burn. It was not entertainment. It was not emotional manipulation. It was not clever stories. It was Jesus opening the scriptures. That is what the church needs today. We do not need less Bible. We need more. We do not need a watered-down Jesus. We need the risen Christ. We do not need motivational speeches with a verse attached. We need the word opened and Christ exalted. When Jesus opens the scriptures, cold hearts begin to burn again. Maybe your heart has grown cold. Maybe you've been going through the motions. Maybe you know doctrine, but you have lost your fire. Maybe you have been disappointed and your walk with the Lord has slowed down. Get back to the word. Ask Jesus to open the scriptures to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to make Christ real to your heart again. The same Jesus who walked with those two disciples still ministers to his people today through his word and by his spirit. Section 6. The resurrection turns discouraged disciples into witnesses. Check out verse 33. Verse 33 says, "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem." Remember, it was 7 miles back. It was evening. They had already walked one way. But when they realized Jesus was alive, they could not stay where they were. Resurrection truth produces movement. They had walked away discouraged. Now they run back with a message. That is what happens when you encounter the risen Christ. The gospel is not just information to be stored. It is good news to be shared. Verse 33 and 34. They return to the 11 and those with them and find that others are saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen." Then they share how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I love this. Their testimony joins the testimony of others. The resurrection was not a private feeling. It was not a legend that developed centuries later. It was proclaimed by eyewitnesses. Jesus rose bodily, physically, victoriously. And because Jesus rose, everything changes. If Jesus is risen, sin has been paid for. If Jesus is risen, death has been defeated. If Jesus is risen, the scriptures are true. If Jesus is risen, his promises can be trusted. If Jesus is risen, he is coming again. And yes, we believe he is coming again. The same Jesus who rose from the dead will return for his church. We believe in the blessed hope, the catching away of the church before the tribulation. We believe God still has a plan for Israel. We believe Jesus will come again in glory and establish his kingdom. The road to Emmaus reminds us that God keeps his promises, even when people misunderstand the timing. The disciples thought the cross meant the plan had failed. But the cross was the plan. Never judge God's faithfulness by one dark chapter. Look, the good news is Sunday was coming. Now let me speak directly to anyone listening who has never been born again. These two disciples knew about Jesus, but on that road their eyes needed to be opened. Maybe that is you. You know some things about Jesus. You know he died on the cross. You have heard he rose from the dead. Maybe you have gone to church. Maybe you believe in God. But the question is not simply, do you know about Jesus? The question is, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible teaches that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. No religion, good work, church attendance, baptism, family heritage, or personal effort can remove your sin. But Jesus came for you. He lived the sinless life you could not live. He died on the cross in your place. He shed his blood for your sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who will repent and believe. To be born again means you turn from trusting yourself and you place your faith in Jesus Christ alone. You surrender to him as Lord. You receive him as Savior. Today, Jesus is not dead in a tomb. He is alive. He is calling you. He is walking near you even now through the preaching of his word. Do not walk away from him. Invite him in. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." If you want to receive Jesus Christ, pray from your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Listen, if you prayed that sincerely, tell someone. Get into the Bible. Find a good Bible teaching church. Follow Jesus publicly and faithfully. And let me be the first to say, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Now, in closing, brothers and sisters, the road to Emmaus is more than a beautiful resurrection story. It is a picture of how Jesus deals with his people. He comes near when we are discouraged. He listens when we are confused. He corrects us with his word. He reveals himself through the scriptures. He sets our hearts on fire. He turns us around and sends us with good news. Maybe you came in today walking your own Emmaus road. You're tired, confused, disappointed, or spiritually dry. Remember this. Jesus has not abandoned you. He is nearer than you think. Open his word. Invite him to stay. Let him turn your sorrow into witness. The tomb is empty. The Lord is risen. The scriptures are true. The King is coming. Let us walk with burning hearts until he comes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are risen from the dead. Thank you that you walk with the discouraged, teach the confused, restore the weary, and save the lost. Open our eyes to see you more clearly. Open the scriptures to our hearts. Set us on fire again with love for you and boldness to share the gospel. For anyone who prayed to receive you today, strengthen them and help them grow in faith. Keep us watching, waiting, and working until you come again. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a wonderful week.